Reading from Luke 1, verse 26 to 45. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Well, let me add to Chris's welcome and say that it's very, very good to see you all and welcome to Spicer Street, particularly if you are new to us or here for the first time. It's very, very good to have you with us. Well, it is, I think, by any reckoning, one of the most extraordinary stories. It happens in the far-flung corner of the Roman Empire a little over 2,000 years ago. The scene of the action is a town called Nazareth in the district of Galilee. It's a nothing town. It's not a cultural center. It's not a great center of learning. It's an ordinary working town. I won't give examples in England today and run the risk of offending anyone here tonight. And in that town, there is a young woman, probably about 15 or 16, though we don't know for sure, an ordinary young woman called Mary. And as was common in the culture, she was betrothed to be married. May well have been an arrangement that was made by her parents. And this betrothal was effectively a binding engagement. She would, in due course, marry Joseph. But there's one fact about her that we are told, isn't there? There's one fact we know for sure. If you want to follow on the reading, it's in verse 27 there of that third reading, which Claire has just read to us. The one fact about which we are sure is that she was a virgin. In fact, we're told that twice. In verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married. And then the virgin's name was Mary. Clearly setting us up for what was to follow. And then we see, don't we, as we go on, that this young woman had an extraordinary day. We don't know the circumstances. We don't know whether she was alone in the house. We don't know whether she was out with the animals. We don't know whether she was out fetching the water. But an angel appears to her. We know the name of the angel, and the angel's name is Gabriel. It is the second announcement that has been made along these lines. 6 months earlier, this angel had been sent to Jerusalem and had told a couple, that they would have a baby boy. And this angel now has a message for this young Jewish woman. Unsurprisingly, the first thing he has to say is, "Don't be afraid." Understandably, she would be terrified, wouldn't you? As if you're going about your business and an angel appears to you. And the message for this young woman is that she is highly favored by God and that she is going to have a baby. She's going to have a son. The angel even gives her the name for the child. He is to be called Jesus. She is, of course, the first one to know the name. And this child, we read, and as we've been singing, is going to be a king. A very special king in the line of David. God's promised king, who is going to reign forever and ever. Mary, of course, knows her biology. She is not stupid, and she comes back with a question. She is, of course, no fool. "How will this be," she says, "since I am a virgin?" You see, in Luke's gospel, we haven't had time to read it before this. This other angel's announcement had been to Zechariah, and he was married to Elizabeth. And not for the first time in the Bible, you have a couple who are having difficulty with conceiving, and God intervenes, and this married couple have a baby. And that's happened before a number of times. But here, this is just of a different order, isn't it? "Since I am a virgin, I have not known a man." And the sense here is that she is going to become pregnant without ever going anywhere near Joseph or any other man for that matter. And I think what she's saying is, how can this be? I'm sure it can happen, but please help me to understand. And the angel explains there in verse 35. "God will come to you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." There's no sense here, by the way, of any physical intimacy with her. "The Holy Spirit will work. There will be a miracle. And by the Spirit's power, you will have this very special baby." Very often we refer to this as the virgin birth, but it's not the virgin birth, is it? It's the virgin conception. The birth, I think, was perfectly normal as far as we know. It wasn't obstetrically went, you know, as you'd expect. We need to stop, though, here, don't we? We need to pause. And we need to ask a couple of questions. Is this possible? Isn't this just myth? Isn't this just a made-up story? Well, Luke, who wrote this, didn't think it was a myth. He was a doctor, after all. The beginning of Luke's gospel tells us that he had investigated everything very carefully. And I should think this was the first story that he checked out. Luke certainly thought it happened. He was no fool. But hang on, this can't happen. This is against the laws of nature. You know, you can have children and you normally have them in the normal way. I guess there are special circumstances, IVF, in vitro fertilization. Miracles like this just can't happen. You know, the Holy Spirit working on a young virgin so that she has a special baby who's going to be a king. Yeah, come on. And people often say at this point, well, you know, 2,000 years ago, people kind of were superstitious. They're not as sophisticated as we are. With our knowledge of science, they believe in the spirit world and they are superstitious. Really? Did they all have low IQs in the first century? Do you think in the first century they hadn't worked out where babies came from? Mary could see the problem clearly enough, couldn't she? In fact, in the first chapter of Luke, earlier on in this, when the angel tells Zechariah that they're going to have a child, he doesn't believe it. The people of the first century were no more gullible or less gullible than we are. They were not stupid. But hang on. I mean, isn't this impossible, though? It breaks the laws of nature. It goes against the laws of science, doesn't it? Yep, it does. And it comes down to this, doesn't it? Is there or is there not a creator God who brought this world into being, who stands outside of this creation, who upholds this creation, who is a God who can intervene in this creation, how and when he likes? The question is put here, the statement is put here, for nothing is impossible with God's. When we were growing up, we had all the Christmas presents, I guess, of standard Christmas presents of that, those generations, 60s and 70s. The Scalextrics, that was one of the favorites. The bike, the football shirts, and of course, the train set. And my father, he was just terrific about the train set. He built us a train set. My father loved trains, and he built a great train set. And I was given a beautiful blue Pullman. Anyone of my generation remember those lovely sets. We also had the Flying Scotsman. And my father built the thing on the hardboard up in the attic. He even put the kind of chicken wire and the papier-mâché so there were kind of tunnels for the trains to run through. And the trains just ran around beautifully. We had the controls so we could do the speed. I even had a little kind of mail kind of carriage on my train so it could collect the mail and drop off the mail. And here was this world, this train set world, and we were kind of outside of that world. But we could reach down into that world and make crazy things happen. We could reach down and make the train fly if we wished. We could uphold it, hold it up. I think that just gives us a sense of what's happening here. God, outside of his creation, is intervening in his creation. Well, normally virgins just don't get pregnant. But here the God of the universe intervenes. And of course, this child would be born. He would grow up. 33 years after this, he would die on a cross. He would be put into a tomb. And what would happen? He would be raised up. And you will say again, hang on. When someone has been dead for 3 days, that is it. The heart has stopped. The heart muscle is damaged. The brain is dead. The organs have ceased to function. There is decay. But no, the God who created this world and upholds it intervenes again. And there is resurrection. But we need to ask more questions. Why? What is going on here? What sort of child is this? What sort of person is he? What sort of king is going to be born here? Well, he is a male child. He will grow into a man. 2 hands, 2 feet. Need his nappies changing. He'll need to eat as a child. He ran, he talked, he walked, he laughed, he cried. But a very, very special child, isn't he? He's going to be a king in the line of David's. God had promised that a king would come in the line of David's. David had been a king 1,000 years prior to this time. A king would come who would put things right, who would rule forever. I don't mean to sound rude in any way, but I guess really we don't have that high an expectation in this country about what our royal family might do for us. We do not have a sense, do we, that one day a royal will come who will change our fortunes forever and ever. Prince Charles is next, Prince William after that, and George after that, if I've understood the laws hereditary surrounding the crown. And we hope and we pray that they will do a good job, that they will seek to use the power that they have well. But we don't expect them, do we, to change things dramatically for our world forever. We do not expect one of those kings to reign forever, to change the universe. But this child will. And Israel, the Jewish people, were looking forward to the arrival of this king. And here he is. One question that's worth asking, though, why the virgin conception? Why does he need to be conceived like this? Well, I think actually verse 35 gives us a clue if you just want to look down to that. The Holy Spirit, the angel said, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that, could be translated, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit will come, and the one born will be holy. Holy, and will be a son of God's. The Holy Spirit will work in Mary to give a human child who will be holy. In fact, will be God himself. Every child born amongst us for all the generations past are children born with sin. You don't have to teach a child how to sin, do you? To lie, to cheat, and to do all the other things, to be unkind. Every one of us is born in that way, born sinful, born guilty. But this child, this human child, would be holy, would be different, would be pure, would be good, would be obedient to all of God's commands. What would this king do? Well, we don't have time to explore all of that tonight. Chris has already mentioned the Christianity Explored course. And if you'd like to find out more about this king, we'd love to spend those four sessions just sharing with you about him and looking at what the Bible says this king will go on to do. This is just the beginning of Luke's gospel. But let me just, in a nutshell, tell you what this king would do. He was born to die. And this Holy One who would never sin would be crucified on a cross outside of Jerusalem for sinners like you and me. He would die on that cross to take the punishment that we deserved. The Holy One, the pure One, the obedient One would die for people who had rebelled against God and would take their punishment. And then he would rise again, then he would go back into heaven, and one day he will come again, and he will transform this world into a perfect world, a new heaven and a new earth, where we will dwell with God, and all of evil will be dealt with, and it will be a perfect place where we enjoy him forever. There will be a great separation and judgment, and there will be an exclusion of those who are not his. This is this king who will come again. He died on the cross for sinners like you and me. He was raised again, and he will return. The question then comes quickly, comes from this. How are we to respond to this king? How are we to respond? Well, Mary shows us the way. Mary shows us, and she did two things as we look into this passage. She believed and she submitted. Let me just explain. You'll see as from verse 39 onwards, and as you'll have heard as Claire read it, that after this annunciation to Mary, Mary makes her way to her cousin's house in Judea, to Elizabeth's house, that were the other couple which had met with the angel. The angel had met with the husband, Zechariah. And there's this lovely conversation between Elizabeth and Mary. But look how it ends there at the last verse. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Elizabeth says to Mary, you are blessed. You believe the angel. Of course, this is a contrast with Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, who didn't believe the angel. You believed. The angel spoke, God spoke through the angel, and you believed. You trusted. You believed what was said to you. That was the first thing she did. And the other thing we see is she submitted. Look at verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. In other words, let it happen. I am happy with this. But can you imagine just for one moment what a costly privilege this was for Mary? Think of what she would have to say to Joseph. I'm pregnant. Think of what she'd have to say to her parents. I'm pregnant. Think of the neighbors. She's pregnant. How many of them do you think believe the angel story? With her acceptance, I believe will have come some degree of disgrace. She would be vindicated, I am sure, in the years ahead as they saw what sort of child this was. And it may be the same for you. To believe might bring some degree of disgrace. But the invitation is there. Will you do as Mary did and believe and submit? Believe in Jesus Christ and submit to him and let him rule your life. Let's just take a moment of quiet as we reflect upon that. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came into this world, our great King, born of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Son of God. And we thank you that he came into this world to die for us, that he was raised again, conquering death, and that he will return again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we pray, Lord, that you by your Spirit would enable us to do as Mary did, to believe and submit to him. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing our final carol, and then please do come and join us for drinks and mince pies next door afterwards. Hark the herald angels sing. They're on the order of service. Let's remain standing a final prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.